All right, Titus chapter number 2. Like I said, I want to take a little break from the angel. I'm going to give you a couple more messages on believers judging angels. And we're going to talk about that verse in Corinthians where it says that that one day we're going to judge angels. And we're going to talk about that. But for tonight, I want to go to Titus chapter number 2. And speak to you on a subject that I think that we need right now as a church. You know, just by way of personal testimony, when I grew up, thinking and was raised in a church where I was raised with the idea that one day when I died, I was going to stand before the Lord. And God would take the good things that I had done and He would weigh those against the bad things that I had done. And I fully believed that when I stood before God, if my good works outweighed my bad works, then I would be allowed into heaven. And I would be allowed to live, you know, eternally with Him. Well, as a teenager, my brother began to share with me the Bible and the Word of God, and he had gotten saved. And as a teenager, I found out that the idea of the scale in heaven and the good works and bad works, that that was not rooted in Scripture. In fact, I discovered that just the opposite was true. And that is, if I'm clinging to my good works, and if I think my good works are going to get me to heaven, you know what? That's the surest way to go to hell, isn't it? I can't live eternally that way because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, can you earn grace? It's not grace. Can you work for grace? Well, no, then it's not grace. And so I began to realize this, that if I'm going to be justified before God, if I'm going to live eternally, then God desires one thing, and that is He wants my faith to rest in the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God for the day that I dropped all that baggage, and I remember the night that I turned to Jesus Christ, and I put my faith and I put my trust in Him. And that night that I trusted Christ, my sins were forgiven, and I know I was saved, and I know I got eternal life that night. But since I got saved, I've made another interesting discovery, and that is this. While I could not live eternally and become God's child as long as I was clinging to my good works, equally true, I discovered that once I got saved, once I became God's child, I wanted to do good works. I wanted to serve the Lord. And I discovered that really, you know, and I'm talking about before I was ever even entertained the idea of being a preacher. When I was a member of a church, I discovered that I could not live a joyful and content Christian life without good works, without serving the Lord and doing good works. I wouldn't be joyful. I wouldn't be content. I wouldn't be fulfilled if I wasn't serving the Lord and doing good works. Do you think good works are important for the Christian? Yeah, I mean, we know good works can't save us. I mean, look at Titus 3:5. I mean, it's pretty clear there, isn't it? It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, and we know that we're justified, we read in Romans, We're justified by our faith in Christ. We're justified by faith. So we're justified by His grace, just by faith. And it says we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we know that we cannot be saved by our good works. But are good works important after you're saved? Now, do I have to do good works in order to keep my salvation? No. But should I want to do good works after I'm saved? Yeah, it is a vital part of the Christian life. They're very important. They're very vital. You say, why? Go back to Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to show you why. Why are good works so crucial? Verse 14. It says there that Christ gave Himself for us. By the way, isn't that a precious phrase right there? Who gave Himself for us. Wow. That is five of the sweetest words in the Bible right there. Who gave Himself for us. He was our substitute. He died in our place. But why did He do it? Look at the verse. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. So why did He die for us? Well, He died for us to redeem us. That is, to set us free. He paid the price. He died for us that He might purify us. That is, cleanse us. So because of Christ's death, God in His grace can cleanse me. God can free me from my sin. All those who believe on Jesus Christ are cleansed. They are forgiven of their sin. Listen, you're not partially forgiven. You are totally forgiven when you get saved. You get complete and total forgiveness. In Colossians, we've learned there where it says that He forgave us all trespasses. But now look at the rest of the verse. Verse 14 says, purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Why did He give Himself for us? Notice that we might be zealous of what? There it is. Zealous of good works. When Christ sets you free, when Christ cleanses you on the inside, He says He does that we might be zealous of good works. The idea here is that the inward cleansing of Christ, listen, the inward cleansing of Christ should produce an outward change. New life within should produce new life without. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter number 2. Keep your bookmarker here. We're going to go right back. We're going to be in Titus tonight. But I want you to go over with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. All right, look at it with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Well, verse 8 and 9 is the passage I quoted earlier. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I cannot be saved by my good works. But then look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. Do you guys see how that's the inward working outward? He creates me a new creature in Christ. He creates me in Christ unto good works. So an inward cleansing leads then to outward action. That's God's plan. Now man tries to do just the opposite. Man thinks that their outward good works are going to somehow change their inward sin nature in God's eyes. But it cannot and it will not. See, I thought that before I got saved. I thought if I do enough good works, then that'll change me. But it won't. until a person is saved, until they experience that purifying, that cleansing that we read about in Titus 2:14, until a person comes to the Lord in faith and He cleanses him and washes him and then renews him with the Holy Ghost, and that's the order, is that your faith is in Christ, then you're justified, okay, by His grace. The moment you put your faith in Christ, you're justified by His grace, and then He seals you with the Holy Spirit. He renews you with the Holy Ghost. He makes you a new person in Christ. Well, until that happens, God's not one bit interested in our good works, because you know what? Before you're saved, what you and I call good works, God calls dirty laundry. God told Israel, your righteousness is as filthy rags. What we call good works, He calls dirty laundry. You know, have you ever tried to clean your car windows? And no matter how much you scrub them, no matter how much you try to clean them, they still look dirty. That happened to me the other day. I was trying to clean the window on the car, and I could not get it clean. You know what the problem was? The problem was, is that some certain children, and I'm not going to name any names, did this on the inside, and so no matter how much I cleaned the outside, the window was still filthy. And you know what that's a picture of? No matter how much I try to clean up the outside, no matter what I do, no matter how good I try to clean it up and scrub it up, until Christ cleanses the inside, I will never be clean in God's eyes. He's got to clean the inside. God changes the inside, but my point is that once He changes the inside, that ought to affect what? The outside. Inward change produces an outward change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Right? We have a new identity. God said He saved you that you would be zealous of good works. It's God's plan. You say, why are good works important in my life? It's God's plan. It is God's plan. God's plan is for you to be useful in His service. When you got saved, God did not immediately rapture you and transport you to heaven, did He? He left you here on planet Earth. Why? You're saved, seated in heavenly places. So why didn't He physically take you to the spiritual position He's already given you in Christ? Why didn't He physically move you to that position He's given you in His Son? Why did He leave you here? Somebody tell me, why did He leave you here? Yeah. If everyone that got saved immediately was taken to heaven, what's the problem there? Nobody left here to witness, to serve, to show forth Christ. You see, it's God's plan that when He saves you, cleanses you, redeems you, purifies you, He says, my plan is then that I would purify unto myself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So, I can't be saved by my good works, but once I get saved, should I want to do good works? Yes. That's normal. Which brings me to my next point. Go back to Titus 3, and let me show you the next thing here. Go to Titus 3, verse 8. Why are this thing of good works, why is it so crucial for the Christian? Look at Titus 3, 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. I'm in chapter 3 now, verse 8. Paul said, this is a faithful saying. What I'm about to say is faithful. And Titus, when you're on the island of Crete there, working with all the churches, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? There it is again. Good works. You see, notice he says, they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Notice that my good works demonstrate the reality of my inward faith. They which have believed in God, that's inward faith, might be careful to maintain good works. That's the outward demonstration of my faith. Can the people at work see your inward faith? Can they see inside your heart and see your faith? Yes or no? No. But can they see evidence of your faith? Yes, and that's the idea there. That's the idea. James, of course, said a lot about this. James told the little flock, the 12 tribes. He said, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Good works are a natural outgrowth of our faith. Paul said it this way. He told the Roman believers, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? Service. It is your reasonable. Is it reasonable to think that the one who's purified me from all sin, given me eternal life, given me his very spirit, completely changed my identity and put me in Christ, is it reasonable to think that I might want to serve him? The one who's done all that for me. Is that not reasonable? Yeah, it is. After you get saved, God fully expects you to serve Him. Now, I don't know what you're doing to serve the Lord. Only you know that. But I do know God expects you to serve Him fervently and zealously. And of course, I believe the best way to serve the Lord, you know, is well, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, He told the believers there, He said, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. People saw a difference in their life. They turned from idols. God saved them to serve the living and true God. The writer of Hebrews said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We're saved to serve the Lord. Now, we're saved to do other things too. Certainly to fellowship with the Lord, to pray, to seek His face, to worship Him. But one of the aspects of salvation, He saves us and He leaves us here so we can serve Him. That demonstrates the reality of my faith. You know, a lot of Christians I've met through the years, they struggle with lingering doubts about their salvation. Well, a lot of times it's because, you know, they're just not serving the Lord. And they sit around, they're not serving Him in any tangible way, and they start getting plagued with all these doubts. Maybe I'm not saved, I'm not saved. You know, a Christian is supposed to serve the Lord. You know, I think of who to pick on here. If my son Clayton over here, okay, if he goes around telling everybody, I'm a baseball player, and He's got him a bat. He's got him a glove. He has a whole bunch of equipment. He's got a lot of books he's reading about baseball. And he just keeps going around telling everybody, I'm a baseball player. I'm a baseball player. But then all of a sudden it starts to hit everybody. We've never seen him ever play a game of baseball. He's got a slick uniform, got all the equipment. He knows about it, but we've never seen him play it. Well, you know what? If he doesn't at some point play the game of baseball, not only are we going to doubt if he's a baseball player, do you think there may come a point where he'll begin to doubt if he's a baseball player? Yeah. And a Christian, just as a baseball player plays baseball, you know what? A Christian serves the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not ever serving the Lord, then all of a sudden you start to wonder, well, I wonder, am I a believer? Am I a Christian? You see, our service, our good works don't save us, but they demonstrate the reality of our inward faith. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? That's what Paul said. They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, look at the rest of that verse. Look at the end of verse 8. Notice he says, let's read the whole verse. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now look at the rest of the verse. These things are good and profitable unto who? Men. You see, not only are good works God's plan for my life, not only do good works demonstrate the reality of my faith, but number three, good works impact other people too. Not only do your good works profit you, your good works are good and profitable unto men. The only evidence that the unsaved world has that we belong to God. Now listen. The only evidence that the unsaved world has that you belong to the Lord is your life, the demonstration of your faith through your good works. They do not know you're a Christian by what you say. They'll believe you're a Christian by what you do. Run with me real quick to Matthew 5. I want to show you a verse there. Keep your bookmarker in Titus and go to the first book of the New Testament. Go to Matthew 5. The context here is he's speaking to the little flock, speaking to Israel, but I think there's great application, and Paul reinforced this in Philippians 2, the same principle. In Matthew 5:16, notice what Jesus taught the little flock of Israel. He said, let your light so shine before who? Men. Why? That they may see your good works, and notice in turn that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. How will the lost end up glorifying God? If you go back to Titus and you go a couple books after that, go to the right, past Hebrews and James to 1 Peter. Notice what Peter writes to the little flock. He says in 1 Peter 2:12, 1 Peter 2, verse number 12, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Notice he's writing to the little flock, the Jews, the believers. And he writes to this scattered, persecuted flock. And he says, look, when you're out there in the world system, have your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Conversation there means more than just your words. It means your whole lifestyle. He said, have your whole lifestyle honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, See, because they don't like your Jesus. But notice, he says that they may by your what? Good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Wow. You know, sometimes we get saved and our family or our friends or co-workers, whatever, people who know us, we get saved and they're skeptics. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I know in my family, it was that way. My brother got saved, trusted Christ. My parents were skeptics. Oh, he's just on another tangent. I got saved. My brother, my other brother, was a skeptic. His wife, a skeptic. But you see, they began to watch my brother, and that this isn't a tangent. He was walking consistently with the Lord. They were viewing his life. They were viewing the way God had changed him. They were viewing his past actions, which weren't very productive. Now they're looking at the change in his life and the good works that he's doing, and he's consistently doing that. They saw that it was for real. And I'm glad to be able to tell you, as a result of my brother's good works, myself, my parents, my brother, his wife, and now all of his kids know the Lord and they're saved. Had my brother not demonstrated his faith that way, who knows? He impacted us by his good works. Think about it. Who influenced you towards Christ? Think about that. Who are some people that influenced you towards Christ? Why did they influence you? Most likely, it was because you saw something in them that was different. And you realized they had something you didn't have. What a shame to think that people who know the Lord, people who are saved and know the Lord, could go through their entire Christian life and never influence anybody towards Jesus Christ. Because we're so self-consumed, we never spend any time doing good works and trying to impact somebody else for Christ. I mean, I wonder what's some good things you could do for people at your work. Just some nice things. I'm not talking about necessarily, you know, going to work, getting up on your desk and saying, "Now you hear me, you're all going to hell. You better hear me preach." You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you just genuinely, out of the kindness of your heart, doing some good things for people at work. Doing some nice things. Or writing an encouraging note. Or maybe just baking some goodies or taking them to work for them, you know, or in my case, it'd be having your wife make the goodies and take them to work, you know, or whatever. I don't know. The possibilities are endless. Just demonstrating the reality of your faith and just showing some good work. Just you know what? I believe some of the kindest people in the world ought to be believers. Did y'all hear that? We don't come to church to just get a head full of knowledge so that we can go out here and show everybody how smart we are about the Bible. You know what? We study the Bible. We learn the Bible. We get sound doctrine rooted in our heart and our life so that Paul said we can be careful to go out there into that world system and maintain good works for the Lord. Maintain good works. Whether it's for some families on the ball team, whether it's to a neighbor, whether it's to a coworker, I don't know. But I know God wants us to impact people. And you know, it's really a shame when people at work a lot of times think about the Christian at work And he's the meanest, hardest to get along with guy at work. He's the meanest, orneriest, hardest to get along with, just not headed guy to work with. What a shame. As Christians, as members of Crossroads, we ought to go out in this community and we ought to be the most kind-hearted, loving, kind people in this city. Doesn't mean you compromise what you believe. Doesn't mean you know that you have to go out and compromise your convictions or compromise what you believe. Doesn't mean we participate in sin or participate in evil. And you know what? There are people that are not going to like us just because we're a Christian. And that's okay. But you know what? I have something I've said a lot, and I'm going to repeat it again. If people are going to be offended by us at work or on the ball team or at job or wherever it may be, if they're going to be offended by us, may it be because of our position, not our disposition. May it not be that they're offended by us because we're rude and inconsiderate. If they're not going to like us, you know, okay, that's okay. Maybe it's because they've got something against Christ, therefore they're going to take it out on us. And that's okay. But may it not be just because of our disposition. Go back to Titus real quick, chapter 3. One final thought here. Verse 14. Notice how that our good works, number 4, allow us to become a fruitful Christian. Good works are God's plan for your life. We saw that. We saw that, number 2, good works demonstrate the reality of your faith. Good works impact others. But number 4, good works allow you to become a fruitful Christian. Look at verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not, what? Unfruitful. Hey, do you think as Christians, should we bear fruit? Well, what kind of fruit do you think we would want to reproduce? I mean, think about this. What kind of fruit does an orange tree bear? Not a trick question, is it? What kind of fruit does an apple tree bear? Then I wonder what kind of fruit a Christian tree would bear. Other Christians. That is, we would impact others, which opens up a door for us to share our faith and ultimately lead them to Jesus Christ. We maintain good works, we serve the Lord, that we be not unfruitful. One of the greatest fears, I guess, if I want to put it that way, one of the greatest fears that we ought to have is that we would be unfruitful. You know? That I would be saved, have all this inward change, and then be unfruitful in my life. Be an unfruitful Christian. Not reproduce myself. Not impact anybody else. Not take anybody to heaven with me, just kind of live out my life and not bear any fruit. And you know, I can show you technically how to take your Bible and lead somebody to Christ. And there's a place for that. We need to know that. You know, you ought to be able to take your Bible, open it up, and show somebody how to get saved. But I got news for you. If your walk doesn't match your talk, you're not going to lead many people to Jesus Christ. It starts with good works. You get involved. You serve the Lord by serving others. You've heard me say before, how you serve the Lord. You think about that phrase, serve the Lord. And that right there, that phrase, I mean, how could I physically, tangibly do anything for the God of the universe? Really? I mean, how could I physically, tangibly serve Him? No, the way I serve Him is by serving others. As I serve others, that's how I'm serving Him. And then the fruit comes very naturally. And the reason why I really felt tonight I needed to bring this message, and I'm just going to share my heart with you. So much of our life, I think, is consumed with us. I understand that. Kind of the nature of the beast. But so much of our life, think about it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, how many hours is that? And think about it, how many of those hours are consumed with things that we really do for us? You know, we work our jobs so that we can make money for us. We take care of our homes, take care of our cars, take care of, you know, of our kids. And I know in a sense we're doing for others there, you know, as we take care of our kids, but they're our kids. I mean, no one else is going to do it, right? So we got to do it. But so much of what we do is for us. You know what? When we open the Bible and we learn it and we study it, folks, it ought to change the way we look at everything around us. It ought to change our whole mindset, the way we view things. And it ought to end, what I really want to say tonight is that as God's Word changes us internally, it ought to change us externally. And it ought to affect the way that we function and that we live and that we treat people. It's not just something that we compartmentalize. And oh yeah, I do church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And oh yeah, I know more Bible than I did last year. And we think, that's good. I'm great. No, no. Who are you impacting? Whose life are you impacting? Who are you reaching out to? What are you doing to serve others, to help people? So I just really wanted to take tonight as an opportunity to just make sure that our attitudes and our mindset is right. And that we never get to the point to where it's a situation where we're just learning God's Word. That's great. But you know what Paul said? He said, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. He wasn't talking about saying be ignorant and don't learn. No, clearly he tells us to study and learn and grow. We need to do all those things. But the idea is that, in fact, if you look at Titus 2 there, you notice in Titus 2:1, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then you notice what the very next thing there is. What's sound doctrine do in our life? Sound doctrine makes a difference in the way we live. It's supposed to. Look at verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. You invest your life in people, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of what? Good works. There it is again. In doctrine, we show uncorruptness, but notice what the doctrine produces. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You look down at verse 10, he tells servants, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Why? That you may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The idea is that we go out, the doctrine inside of us makes a difference in the way we live, and as we go out and we live out the doctrine, we adorn it. We beautify that doctrine by our behavior. By our good works, we beautify the doctrine. We make it look beautiful to others. So it's not enough to just learn the doctrine and get our head full of knowledge. Then we go out and we beautify it through our behavior, our actions. And I want to challenge you that, you know, even while you're here at church, man, we've got to reach out to people. You got to reach out. You got to look for faces, look for people. Man, if there's a visitor and you see them raise their hand in church, I mean, the beauty of it around here is that we know who the guests are because they do that. You know? And right away, you ought to be looking and thinking, that person's never been here before. Man, I bet they need somebody to say hi and be a friend to them. And man, you're making a beeline to them, not to your buddy after church, not to your life group person. No, you're making a beeline to that first-time visitor, saying, welcome. Man, we're glad to have you here. Is there anything you need? Anything, you know, I can help you? Any questions? You say, they might ask me something I don't know. That's simple. You take them to Pastor Rob. He's got all the answers, right, brother? No. I mean, you can get them to somebody if you don't know the answer, but that's okay. Man, they just want a friendly face. You ever go in a strange place and you ever just look for a friendly face? Yeah, you just like, somebody friendly. Is there someone I can connect with? And every Sunday we have people like that that come here. And I'm afraid that we say, if you're a first-time guest, raise your hand. We have hands go all over the auditorium, but do we have people around the auditorium that have been here a while that are thinking, I got to reach out to them. I got to connect with them after church. See what brought them here. Let them know how I feel about the church. Let them know that I'm here for them. Do good works save us? But are they important? Yes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,